We went out searching for single people at Boulevard Tavern, a neighborhood restaurant and bar in the Crossroads. We noticed five couples gazing into one another's eyes, and at one table way off in the corner, two men cared for their sleeping baby over dinner. Everyone was paired up, with the exception of Blair, sitting alone at the bar.
It's hard to meet other single people that haven't been married before, or don't have children, or are just normal, nice people.
She's lived in many other cities, including Denver, Anaheim, and New York. And she says that for single people, Kansas City is a different animal.
There's so many places that you go that you feel awkward and uncomfortable going by yourself.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and the rest of today's Central Standard is about the single life in Kansas City. These conversations too often focus on finding a date. We don't care about that. What we care about is what kind of city this is for people to live in while they're single, whether they plan to remain single for a while or not. Andy Limpick is our resident single guy today. He's part of KCUR's Generation Listen Group for young listeners. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks, Gino.
I don't mean to be rude, but how old are you?
29.
So how long have you been single?
Well, almost a year at this point. So
you're pretty new to it.
A little new, but still trying to figure things out.
So comparatively to being someone who's socialized as part of a couple, are you finding that Kansas City is a place where a 29-year-old single person can have a satisfying social life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kansas City is a great town in that we have a lot of opportunities for volunteerism, which is something that I found as an opportunity to meet new people in an environment that's not quite as forceful as, say, a bar, for instance.
As forceful as a bar. What kind of places?
Well, here, for one, at the station, but I've volunteered with Harvesters as well and have gotten to go and do some of the TEDx events around the city, which has been a great opportunity and a great way to meet people.
Do you think that being single has motivated you to be engaged in that way with your city, being part of groups like Generation Listen here at the station or Harvesters or TEDx?
Yeah, definitely. It's having been in a long-term relationship prior to being single, a lot of my friends were tied up with my previous relationships. And so volunteering was a very easy, low-pressure way to meet new people and expand my social group.
Do you think that when you're out and about doing these things, do you see older single people as part of that? I mean, or is this strictly a younger man's game? I ask because I was once single in my 20s and found Kansas City was a lovely place for that. But friends of mine who are single in their 30s and older tell me that by now most people have coupled up and hang out in couples. Even large groups of friends tend to be like dinner parties full of couples, and that they can feel isolated or left out and they don't want to go to the places where 20-somethings are hanging out. It's just not appealing anymore.
I haven't found a lot of older people. I think Kansas City is a town where when people get into their 30s and 40s, they do pair off and in some cases move to the suburbs, and it becomes a lot more spread out and I think more difficult to find centrally located areas where maybe older folks are congregating.
Call 816-235-2888 to weigh in on this conversation about being single in Kansas City at any age. That number again is 816-235-2888. We want to hear about your experience and what you think this city does and doesn't do to accommodate its single adult population. Bella DiPaolo is with us now. She's the author of How We Live Now, Redefining Home and Family in the 21st Century. She joins us from California. Hi, Bella.
Hi. I'm so glad you are doing this show on living your single life and not just trying to escape it by dating.
Can you explain why? Like, you sound relieved, and I'm, in a way, kind of surprised. You live in California, and I wouldn't, I guess maybe I have this idea that would be maybe more typical there.
Oh, California is a great place for people who want to live their single lives fully and not just try to escape it. You know, I think that there are a lot of people out there, we have no idea how many, who are what I call single at heart. That means they actually live their best, most meaningful, most authentic lives as single people.
What do you think that redefining home and family has to do with that? That's part of the title of your book. I mean, do you think our social habits have been slow to adjust to people living outside of the sort of, like that 1950s convention?
Totally. You know, if you knock on any door in the United States at random, you are more likely to be met by a single person living alone than a household comprised of mom, dad, and the kids. Nuclear family households are now under 20% of all households.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
In the country?
Yeah, so across the land. Yes, across the United States. And so people are living in all sorts of other ways other than with mom, dad, and the kids under one roof. And so we, in a way, we have to redefine home and family because so many people do not have a spouse, so many people do not have kids, and so they couldn't live in nuclear family households even if they wanted to.
So as you explored the redefinition of home and family in the context of many single people living single lives, what were some of the adaptations? I mean, I don't want to call them adaptations because that assumes that the standard that we have in our minds is like some norm. But what are some of the other pictures of family and home?
There are just so many of them, from creating a household of your own that's all your friends now, and living under the same roof. Now, we think about this as something that young adults do, you know, when they're just starting out, and that still happens. But now, even more than ever before, this is happening all across the age range, from middle-aged adults to the model we all know and love so well, the Golden Girls, all living under the same household.
That's a good point. They did do that.
Yeah, and everybody loved them. And so that's one possibility.
Yeah.
Another possibility, of course, is living on your own. Another are all these different variations of having your own place, only within an intentional community, a neighborhood where people actually really want to be neighborly and want to have interdependent lives. And there are many different ways of doing that, including structured ways such as co-housing, where everybody has their own house and or apartment. And in addition, there's a common house that everyone shares where people gather for meals or meetings or to pursue activities they like. And then there's another version, which is going back to an old-fashioned way of living, and it's actually becoming more popular, and that's multi-generational living. And more people are doing that now. And for a while, people thought, it's only increasing because of the recession. And that was true in part. But now that the recession is over, people are still staying in their multi-generational households, which is pretty interesting, too, because it suggests there's a certain appeal to this way of living for people who choose it beyond just saving money.
You know, it's interesting to me when you think about that just in the context of history and time, the idea of there being a really large single adult population must be kind of new in the big scheme of things. I mean, people who do end up pursuing the path of marriage and possibly children tend to do that a little bit later than they used to. And there are entire lives that people live also post-marriage, and that's to say nothing of people who just remain single as a matter of course.
Yes. So if you take all of the people who are single in any of those ways you suggested, either that they have always been single, or they're divorced, or they're widowed. In 1970, there were 38 million single people across the United States. Now, there are 107 million.
Wow.
And that's just counting people 18 and older. And that is close to half of the United States population. A year or two ago, Bloomberg News made big news by saying singles are now more than half the population, but they were counting starting at age 16, I think. But in any case, however you count, it's a huge number.
How do cities, we live in either make themselves hospitable to singles or not?
Yeah, there are lots of ways that cities can be more hospitable to singles, and those are both in social ways, in structural ways. So, for example, structurally, cities that offer places that are easy to socialize in or easy to be in either by yourself or with other people, for example, open spaces like plazas where you can sit and read or have your lunch or sit and talk with somebody else. Open green spaces are great. And, you know, when I did the research for my book, How We Live Now, I talked to people who lived in all different kinds of arrangements. And people who lived in the city, one after another, they had the same expression. They said, my city is my living room. I walk out the door of my place, and I can go to shops and restaurants and cultural events and sporting events. And so that's where my social life happens.
So a city that can be like a living room.
Yes, yes. So that's always great. That in that way. Another thing is to make it clear that events are for everyone and not just for couples. I think too often our cultural events, and this happens here I'm in Summerlin, which is near Santa Barbara. We have this great film festival, but when they advertise the film festival, it's all, oh, by the couple, you can get this tickets at this great price or that great price, but if you're a single person, you have to pay more. Now, you know, more per person.
I'm seeing some nodding in this room. That might be an issue in Kansas
yeah.
City. Andy, is that something you've encountered?
It is. I feel like there's everything is kind of geared around couples, or if you're doing something, people say, who are you going with? Who are you bringing? And sometimes you may just want to bring yourself.
Well, let's talk to Anne. She lives in Kansas City and wants to share her perspective. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm 58, and I've been single most of my life, and I've lived in Kansas City for 35 years now. And I think really the internet has kind of revolutionized what it means to be single, because I am involved in so many different, they ultimately are social. They start out as an interest, and then they turn out to be social because you get to know the people in them. And I just think that there are so many options here. And basically, pretty much I got involved with all of them via the internet. So if you have a computer, being single, you know, is really easy, because it's so easy to get connected up with people that have similar interests to you. And then once you start hanging out with a group of people, you just automatically make friends and start dating people. And I just find, and plus there's so much to do in Kansas City, I just think it's a great place to be single.
Do you think there's is there anything we could do better that would serve, the single population in particular in some way?
Wow, I don't feel like there's anything lacking. I mean, really, after I got divorced about 10 years ago, I understand what your other guest said about getting away from the being where everybody does things as couples, because I found that to be very lonely, and then just decided to sort of strike out on my own and pursue my own interests and friends. And it's been very gratifying.
Well, thanks, Anne, for calling. You know, Anne's comments sort of mirror someone else's that we heard from. We have a network called Tell KC, and we did a query through that and heard back from a woman who says that being single in her 50s, she mostly socializes around special interests. Hers happen to be horses in entrepreneurship. But Bella, I wonder if that is part of, from one city to the next, how people socialize as a single person around really shared interests or hobbies.
I think that does happen a lot. And of course, that's facilitated by what your guest mentioned, internet possibilities like meetup groups and so forth that make it easier than ever before to find other people who share your interests and perhaps develop friendships out of that. And notice I said friendships, not mateships, because, again, I like to look at cities and other places for the possibilities for living your single life fully and not trying to escape it.
You know, we have a tweet from Diane who asks on Twitter, where do queer people or people of color or those 35 and older hang out that aren't into craft beer and $4 coffee? Which I think points to an interesting question. That when the city is your living room, that is a little more expensive than when your living room is your living room.
Yeah, that's certainly true. But there are, you know, I live near Santa Barbara, which is a very expensive city. In terms of housing prices, it even comes close, though not, fortunately, not quite as bad as New York City. But there are so many things to do that don't cost a cent. For example, going walking or hiking or, you know, the kinds of interests that really don't cost anything. There are great farmers markets here, and people go to those or just socialize around pets. Or there are things you can do that don't cost any money at all, and that's been a delight for me to discover.
Taylor, Andy, have you found that in Kansas City?
I have. When I first became single, I didn't really know what to do, and I've actually found something kind of going back to the online aspect is something called meetups, where it's kind of a menu of different activities and groups that all kind of share a different theme, and you can just join it, and there's no expectation that it's a romantic type of thing. And it allows you to just meet up with people who share a like mind about a particular interest, whether it be your a political group or people who like dogs or anything like that. So, yeah, I have.
That's cool. You know, we heard about our previous commenter through TelKC. Her name is Dodie. She also had this to say about being single. I live a very complete life solo and enjoy my own company. Some are surprised I cook meals, keep a lovely home, and generally do what I enjoy without tempering as something a single person wouldn't do. I'd say my greatest challenge of late is that by putting a high focus on a growth spurt in my business, I don't always plan ahead. Sometimes by the time I pop up for social connection, everyone else has already made plans. Then I'll turn to solitary activities for recreation. But I'll also take myself out to dinner with or without a book or journal as my date. Is that something you've done?
I have.
Tell me about it.
I'm trying to think. I'll occasionally just, a lot of my friends have kids and are paired up and are all married. And occasionally I will just grab a book that I'm reading or do a crossword puzzle and sit and have a meal.
Is it pretty comfortable?
Yeah. Kansas City's a friendly place, so you never get too many looks.
KCUR's Central Standard is off to one last break. Bella DiPaolo, Andy Limpick, stay with me. When we come back, we'll bring another local single in on the discussion, and we'll want to hear from you, 816-235-2888. Back in a minute. And we're back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR's Central Standard. We're talking about whether Kansas City is a relatively good place to be single. And we aren't asking whether Kansas City is a good place to hook up. We're asking bigger quality of life issues for however long a person's singlehood happens to last, whether it's by choice or by circumstance. We've been chatting with local bachelor Andy Limpick and author Bella DiPaolo, who wrote How We Live Now, Redefining Home and Family in the 21st Century. Hi again, Andy.
Hi, Gina.
And welcome back, Bella.
Thank you.
Now we've got lawyer Taylor Miller in the studio. She's also a young single, but we wondered whether a single woman might offer a different perspective. Hi, Taylor.
Hi.
How long have you been single?
A year.
Do you enjoy it?
Sure.
What do you think are Kansas City's strengths and weaknesses as a place for single people to live, you know, like productive, happy, social lives?
I think that it's pretty affordable, so that's a strength, I guess. And it's a really friendly town, as Andy mentioned earlier.
Affordability, is that partly when you think about like housing and just, yeah, going it alone financially?
Yeah.
Because we haven't really talked about that much.
Yeah. So, I think that it's definitely, you know, it's doable and, you know, you don't need to have a roommate or anything to afford an apartment around here. And then I do think that there's probably a big, I guess, I don't know, people assume that you want to be in a relationship or that you need to be or that you're not happy if you aren't. So I think culturally there's a little, like, I don't know, stigma or something with being single in this town. But that's...
How do people express that to you? Is it subtle or not subtle?
I don't know. It's, and I don't know that this is across the board, but I definitely think that, you know, like your intro to the whole show today, it's, there's definitely a tendency for people to want to set you up or fix your singleness. So that's, I mean, that's kind of how it's expressed, is just trying to, and I really think that it's an idea. People who are happy in a relationship want you to be happy the way that they are. And
they might really know someone who they think you'd be great for. But yeah, I have noticed a lot of like, yeah, very almost impulsive setting up of single friends.
Yeah,
it's kind of an expectation almost.
Talk about that.
I feel like being a city in the Midwest, there's still some of that more old-fashioned 50s ideas that you get married, you have kids, and that's the trajectory of your life. And so you see a lot of that bleed into conversations that you have with your friends and people who are following that path.
So maybe like they think that you're trying to live the life they're living and just not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, like maybe you're doing something wrong.
Well, let's talk to Kate in Midtown, who has called 816-235-2888 to share her insights. Hi, Kate.
Hey.
What can you share?
Well, I was just kind of what you were saying about like not trying to get fixed up, but just making friends in Kansas City. I find that playing a rec sport is a ridiculously efficient way to meet a lot of people all at once. So I play volleyball out in Shawnee, and I think there's another place out on Holmes that I've played at a few times. And the cool thing about that is that when you're on the court, everyone out there is just a teammate. Like, there aren't couples out there on your team. It might be like a couple of people might have like their spouse cheering on the sideline or they're at home watching the kids, but like, when you're playing, you're all just teammates. And then if you go out for drinks afterwards, you're all a big group together rather than like being in tiny little sets of two.
That's a really cool observation, Kate. Have you ever lived in another city?
Yeah, I lived in Chicago for a long time.
Have you had
the same thing there? Yeah. Up there, I played Ultimate Frisbee, where you get just like a boatload of people all at once because the team has to be so huge with how many times people can't make it, so many subs. Volleyball's a little bit smaller teams, but when you sub on other people's teams afterwards, you meet whole new groups of people every time, and you get their numbers and your Facebook friends are calling to ask you to be a sub. And so you're communicating with these people in a way that isn't like for romantic hanging out. It's just for hanging out and playing a game.
Yeah, because everyone on a team is filling their individual role on that team, no matter who else is on the team.
Exactly. Well,
that's a cool observation. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, no problem.
We heard from Taylor that, excuse me, I don't know why I keep doing that. We heard from Andy that that he volunteers and is getting engaged in like civic groups and stuff as part of his project of like meeting people to hang out with as a single person in Kansas City. Taylor, what about you? Are there things that you found that are like good ways to meet people and just have sort of an engaging relationship with the city?
Yes, I'm really involved in a lot of organizations around town and have been always, I think. So I don't think I have a hard time meeting a lot of different people. I think that still through a lot of those activities, most of the people that I know are in relationships. So as far as doing things outside of the actual events of, you know, those organizations, it can sometimes be a, like, fifth wheel situation, but But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to do and ways to be involved. And like, I definitely don't just sit around my apartment and, you know,
cry.
Right.
Bella, I want to ask you about this because I have, I mean, my mom is single. She's in her 60s. I don't think she'd mind my saying so. She's been single since she was in her 30s with some dating in the mix. But when my brothers and I left home, she moved to L.A. And in L.A., I witnessed this social group she was part of that I had really not seen older people socializing in this way in my life. And it, maybe it exists in Kansas City and I just haven't seen it. But she was part of just a really big group. And they all went out and did stuff as one big group on weekdays, whenever, met at a restaurant. And there were couples, there were single people, but they didn't really separate off. And I've talked to her about it. And she said, you know, that she didn't feel like a third wheel, like it's kind of easy to feel in Kansas City. And I'm wondering if cities differ in an attitude toward this from one another.
You know, they may, and one of the reasons may be is that there's a greater proportion of single people in cities and a greater proportion of people who live alone. So there are more potential people who are interested in that sort of thing. And I love that story about your mom. That is just so great. And I think her story and all of the other guests describing their experiences suggests something that social science research has shown, that it's single people who really are the life of the city. They're the ones who are most likely to be out there at the cultural events, the social events, the sporting events, going out to restaurants and bookstores and talks. And, you know, we tend to think that people who are married are the social glue holding our societies together. But in fact, lots of research shows it's just the opposite. It's single people who are more likely to be spending time helping, supporting, attending to their friends, their siblings, their parents, their neighbors. They really are the social glue.
Well, thinking about social glue, one of the things that does happen when people have spouses and children, at least as they get older, is there are some needs that are met by those people, especially if there's like a health concern or something like that. We had a caller who wanted to share that there are needs like this, and that there's a volunteer group that works to help older adults come as groups to a performance center and organized transportation so they don't have to drive in the dark, things like that. But does a city need to do things like that to make being single into the later years a real viable possibility?
Yes, it's a wonderful thing to do. And there's even a more organized movement called the Village Movement. And what that involves is a membership organization where you can join the village in your where you live, if you are fortunate enough to have one. And what that does is help you stay wherever you want to live for much longer than you might be able to otherwise. And it provides just the kinds of resources that you mentioned, rides and maybe help with shopping or helping to get there, get where you need to go, or help with technical stuff like with your computer, or helping putting you in touch with people who can get you whatever resources you need. And often they have a social component too. So the whole group or anybody in the group who's interested might go to shows together or to readings or to any kind of social or cultural events that interest them, or they might have their own events for their own particular villages. So it's just a wonderful innovation, because so many older people now, their real wish is not to be institutionalized. You know, they want to stay in their own place for as long as they possibly can and with dignity.
Leslie in Olathe is 44, and she tells us that being single is, quote, truly awful if you live in the suburbs, And I wonder if there's a difference between the suburban and urban single experiences. First of all, I want to start by asking that question about Kansas City. Andy Taylor, tell me your perspectives on this, because we did get a lot of feedback from people saying, you know, they're younger, they have a house in Midtown, they're totally happy. But then this message from Leslie indicates that, that it might be really different in the suburbs.
I think so. I live in Waldo, and I kind of consider that still to be the suburbs, but it's a little bit more urban than, say, South Overland Park or Olathe.
It's a very urban suburb.
It is, and I would personally be kind of terrified to live that far out if I was single and trying to meet new people, because it feels very insular. Trying to strike up a conversation with a stranger out south, I have found, you might just get looked at like you're from Mars.
Really?
Yeah. That's been my experience.
Taylor, has that been yours?
I definitely think that there's a big difference between the city and the suburbs. And I think that's why I like to live where I live, because it's kind of, it is one of these like very connected communities, like was being mentioned earlier in the show. And I think it is like, nobody looks at me like I'm from Mars, at least not for being single. It's a lot more, you know, we've got the relationships just automatically. People go and talk with each other outside.
Do you mind my asking what neighborhood this is?
It's Columbus Park.
And tell me about how the dynamics are there that really work for you.
It's downtown, but it's like a lot of single family homes and smaller apartment buildings, and just a lot of people have lived in the neighborhood for a long time. And so it's kind of like just a little small town within downtown. But yeah, so it's really connected, and it definitely feels like, you know, I'm not alone, or, you know, you could knock on somebody's door and get a cup of sugar. I'm not isolated in my own home, so.
We had someone tweet to us that a lot of the spaces we've mentioned where people congregate when they're single can be homogenous. And I know that's probably to some extent a matter of opinion, but do you think that someone looking for a really diverse group of people just hanging out somewhere would be hard-pressed to find that place? Or do you think some of the spaces we've mentioned maybe do have diversity?
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's a little bit, yeah, a tad homogenous. I do think that our social spaces tend to cater to one particular demographic. Maybe Westport would be a good place. I think there's a lot going on there that appeals to a broad swath of people.
We did get one younger single person tell us that she owns a house and lives in Midtown and goes out a lot. She's made the interesting comment that she's single because she wants the men in her age group to grow up a little. But she wishes that socially Kansas City were more of a melting pot. Like, she's happy here. She's finding things to do. But she's lived in other cities and is finding, the same observation, which is maybe not so much about being single, but if the idea is that you're out and engaged and that that's where you're finding fulfillment, that could be a point of contention.
I actually think my neighborhood's pretty diverse. So I think I have kind of a different experience from Andy on that. And I think like 39th Street is also a really eclectic kind of area. I think people probably tend to gravitate toward the same types of places that appeal to them, and so maybe they're not experiencing everything that's in this city, but I think there are a lot of really different communities and communities with a lot of different people in them.
Bella, how does infrastructure play into this? Because we've heard that there's like a kind of neighborhood that might be more comfortable for single people to socialize in, and I wonder what are the characteristics of those kinds of neighborhoods?
Yes, and as I was listening to you discuss suburbia, I was reminded, as I did the research for my book, How I Live Now, that many towns and suburbs are trying to become more welcoming and friendly in these new ways. For example, having houses closer to, having sidewalks and having houses closer to the sidewalks, having towns that have more shops and restaurants and cultural events within walking distance. So walkable cities or walkable towns are becoming the new it things, and you can see why. The same way that people in the city say, the city is my living room, people in suburbs want more of that too.
You know, so our commenter who shared that she felt that it was truly awful to be single in the suburbs, she also said that although she's never lived anywhere else, she's visited other cities where public transportation makes a social scene easier to navigate.
Yeah.
How do you think that this affects single people in a different way?
I think public transportation can be really important to get you wherever you want to go easily and inexpensively. And so that becomes one of the highlights of these new walkable cities, is that you can walk to things within your residence, but in addition, you can walk to public transportation and get even farther.
I see some nodding in this room. Taylor, can you talk about how public transportation or lack thereof would sort of make a difference in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I really am looking forward to the streetcar starting up and hopefully expanding beyond the current route, because I think that really opens up the city. And you know, there are kind of a couple of components to it. I think that provides an opportunity to meet different people, just someone who happens to be sitting next to you, you know.
On that train.
Right. And then also it's like, okay, well, I'm not getting in my car and driving alone somewhere and having to drive myself home if I have a few drinks. Like, you know, it doesn't even like it. I don't have to. It takes that out of the equation. So I think it just sort of makes it a lot easier to just go out and go do things without kind of thinking about, okay, do I grab an Uber? And then that all gets a lot more expensive when you're not splitting it and so forth. So, yeah, I think that'll be helpful.
Yeah, public transportation in and of itself becomes a social space as well. To kind of expand on what Taylor was saying, when we are bubbled in our cars by ourselves, we're not giving ourselves those additional opportunities to meet new people. I've traveled to a number of cities, and I can tell you I've sat down on a train, whether it be in Boston or Chicago, and just strike up a conversation with a complete stranger, not necessarily looking to create a lifelong bond, but just to have that moment where you're interacting with somebody completely new and it shapes your day a little bit.
If part of the equation for just a city being welcoming and embracing singles is a shift in mindset, though, which is kind of where we started a little bit, what do you think, what do you think are the misconceptions about singlehood that you might like to correct?
I think it's a difference between being alone and loneliness. I think those two concepts get misconstrued to one another, where you think that because you're not with someone, that you're lonely inherently. So I think kind of dispelling that myth would be a really great start.
What do you think, Taylor?
I think people ask all the time, like, why I'm single, like, kind of implying, like, well, what's wrong with you? You know, and I think I don't think I'm any crazier than anybody who's in a relationship. Those people just found somebody who's like,
you can work with each other's
right,
craziness.
Right, exactly. So I guess there's that. Just it's not necessarily something broken. I don't know.
Yeah. That gets to this next question. Is there something that you kind of wish people would stop asking you or saying to you about your singleness?
No, not really. Maybe when are you going to have kids? but we got to go. What first things first? We've got to get that relationship lined up.
Yeah,
Bella, I think, is there any indication of what single people contribute to communities in particular?
Oh, totally. They're the lifeblood of communities. They're the ones doing more of the volunteer work, more of showing up at cultural events, at restaurants, and so forth. And I also just wanted to say that all these myths that people are mentioning, I addressed in my first book called Singled Out, How Singles Are Stereotyped, Stigmatized, and Ignored, and Still Live Happily Ever After.
Cool. That sounds like a good one, and I see one of our guests writing it down. Our time is up.
Oh, wonderful.
Bella DiPaolo, author of How We Live Now, Redefining Home and Family in the 21st Century. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Taylor Miller, thanks for joining us. It's been great.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And Andy Limpick, thank you.
Gina, it was fun. Thanks.
You can listen back to either of today's discussions at kcur.org/centralstandard later today. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Sign up for our podcast while you're there, and you will never miss an episode. It will reward you, I promise. And talk to us on Twitter. We're at kcurcst, and I'm at GinaKCUR. You can get in touch with us there to continue some of that Royals-Mets trash talk if you want to. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Go Royals!